And now let's turn to our colleagues at the BBC in London with a check of international news to watch for this week. This morning, we're joined by Rob Hugh-Jones. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Lauren.
Okay, so let's kick it off with the Hajj. Saudi Arabia will this week host a vastly reduced Hajj because of the coronavirus. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. The Hajj is the annual pilgrimage to Mecca, you know, one of Islam's holiest sites in Saudi Arabia, the other one being Medina in Saudi Arabia. The Hajj is described as one of the five pillars of Islam, and all Muslims around the world are required to make it at least once in their lifetimes, providing they are fit and financially able. And it usually attracts about 2.5 million worshippers from around the world in this week each year. But of course, that kind of mass of people is exactly what a coronavirus would want in order to spread. We know the Olympic Games, for example, in Tokyo has been postponed, but the Hajj this year has not. Instead, it's been radically altered. So this year, instead of seeing those TV pictures of vast numbers of people crowding into Mecca, into the central mosque there, we will see far fewer. In fact, Saudi Arabia's rules are only a few thousand people this year who are currently residing in the kingdom itself will be allowed to attend, and international pilgrims from all around the world will not. And I should just say, Lauren, this is terrible news economically for many people in Saudi Arabia. Not everyone's rich in that country. And those who run hotels, taxi services, travel companies, you know, they rely very much on the Hajj. They make a lot of money out of it each year. And now, well, of course, now they're going to be, this week, they're going to be twiddling their thumbs.
Okay, so now let's turn to China and Hong Kong. China's new national security law in Hong Kong has triggered a big reaction. What further should we expect in the coming weeks?
Well, yes, it has. So this has been a big story over the last few weeks, hasn't it? This new security law that was imposed in Hong Kong. And it's interesting to see just how relations between China and the US, of course, with the closure of that consulate in Houston and the closure of an American consulate in China, among other things, but also the UK relationship between China. I mean, it's dropping. It's almost in free fall. We're keeping Huawei, the big tech company, out of our 5G networks under some American pressure. Some MPs in this country want to ban the Chinese social media app TikTok. Our foreign secretary, our equivalent of your secretary of state, has accused China of gross human rights violations against the ethnic Muslim minority in northwestern China, the Uyghurs. And then perhaps the biggest of all of these are the fierce exchanges over Hong Kong, which of course was a British colony until it was handed back in 1997. Britain is furious at the new national security law, which it says undermines Hong Kong's one country, two systems agreement with China. And that's why last week you saw the UK unveil the conditions under which some 3 million residents of Hong Kong will be able to start on a pathway to UK citizenship. So effectively, the UK is saying, look, there's the exit door. You can come and stay with us, and some of you can become residents of the UK. And that, of course, infuriates China. They've called that a gross interference in Chinese affairs.
So which countries are bracing themselves for an influx of people from Hong Kong?
Well, Britain is, for a start, having just unveiled this path to citizenship for many. But so is Ireland, for example. So there are activist groups in Hong Kong who are speaking with the Irish government about creating or building new cities in Ireland called charter cities that would accommodate Hong Kong people. At least half the population, the plan is, of these cities would be from Hong Kong. But, you know, it's not just Ireland. And the reason is because the per capita income of people in Hong Kong is the highest in China, except for Macau. They are industrious, entrepreneurial people. That is the tradition. That's their kind of calling card. They're also English speaking. They're also democratic. So if they're traveling, if they're on the move from Hong Kong, there are actually quite a few countries around the world that would value that community and see them as helpful additional people to their own populations.
All right. And finally, Rob, there's a high profile murder case coming up in Russia this week. It sounds pretty intriguing. Tell us about it.
Well, it is. I mean, when you look at the various stories coming up across the world this week, you know, not every time we see a big kind of murder case, but this is one that's kind of gripping people in Russia. Basically, this Friday, there's a preliminary hearing in the case of the Three Sisters. That's what it's called. These are three sisters. They're called the Khachaturians. 2 years ago, in July of 2018, they killed their father while he was sleeping. Now, the thing is, they were all teenagers at the time, and the case divided Russians because human rights activists said, look, these kids really are not criminals, but they're victims of an abusive father. Earlier this year, Russia's General Prosecutor's Office effectively agreed, concluding the sisters had been subjected to prolonged physical and sexual abuse. The killing, it said, should therefore be seen as necessary self-defense. So we thought that was the end of it. And then an investigative committee rejected this conclusion. So now it's all back in the legal sphere. And Russians are watching this because it raises the issue, is premeditated murder or killing of an individual in a premeditated way, is it ever acceptable? And of course, some people think that it is in this case because it was self-defense, they argue, and some don't. And this has kind of divided society, and that's why the Russians are sort of watching this case like a soap opera.
All right, that is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones joining us today from London. Rob, thank you so much as always.
Thanks so much, Lauren.